to supply my every need. I lean on you. I've been on the mountain when the sun was shining bright. I've been in the valley when the clouds were black as night. I've been betrayed like Jesus by a friend who wasn't true. But in the good times or the bad times, Lord, I've learned to lean on you. I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord. For the things that I need, I lean on you.
When I don't know just what to do,
to supply my every need, I lean on you. I've heard the battle raging, then I prayed till victory came. There have been times I really thought, Lord, you don't even know my name. But I've been blessed, and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the times of joy and sorrow, Lord, I've learned to lean on you. I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord. For the things that I need, I lean on you. To supply my every need, I lean on you.
When I don't know just what to do, I've got faith to see me through.
To supply my every need, I lean on you. Amen. I don't know about you, but I look over this past year and I have found that I have been at my best when I was leaning on the Lord. Amen. And I'm thankful that He is always there for us to lean on and we can trust in Him. And it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We've still got some folks that are out due to the holidays and things like that. Some folks are traveling. And so let's be much in prayer for them. And we have it's good to see the Teagues back in the house with us this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Miss Elna, it's great to see you here this morning. And we're thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is just good to be in His house. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
There you go. There you go. Brother Harold, it's great to have you back this morning, brother. It's good to see you. Amen. All right. It's great to have you. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service this morning. Brother Ceylon, would you pray for us? Amen. Church, if you'll stand, join the choir, and let's turn over to page number 393, and let's sing together this morning, When We All Get to Heaven. All right, here we go now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout on the last onward. lies before us. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, sing it again, church. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here today in his house. And you be much in prayer for Brother Brian as he brings our message this morning. And we look forward to what the Lord has for us today. And we are so thankful that we're able to be back here. And I hope you've had a great holiday. I hope you've enjoyed your New Year's. And it's hard to believe that we've started. Now you got to be careful about how you write your dates. We're on moving on up here to 2026. I wonder how many times we'll write 2025 over the next days. But just praise the Lord with us today. And again, please be mindful of for those that are unable to be here today. And I don't see Miss Claudia. Let's remember her in prayer. And we just ask the Lord to be with her. And please remember service tonight at 5 o'clock. There'll be no choir practice. But we need to start getting this thing kicked off in the next few weeks. And we'll start trying to work on some new songs. I see some choir members that we could surely use here today in the choir. And so you make that a matter of prayer. And we'd love to get the choir back full again, or at least fuller, and be very helpful. And we would just love to have an opportunity to sing and to worship together in this next coming year. So you make that a matter of prayer. We'd love to be able to have some choir members back. And the Lord knows exactly what we need for this coming year for the church. Amen? So let's make that a matter of prayer, and that God would do some great things in 2026. He's able, and that's what he wants to do. I know that for sure. And so we're looking forward to what he has for us. But let's go to him again. Yes, I'm sorry. Miss Cassie, you have an announcement as well. I also want to say this morning that I just want to tell the choir what a tremendous job they did on our Christmas program. We haven't been able to really all get back together since then, but they did such a great job. Our young folks that got involved in the program, we're thankful for that. Jackson, thank you for getting Hot Pockets here. That's always a blessing. Hey, man. And let me just share with you, one of the guys that was with the jazz band that came on that Sunday morning, he came to me at the end of the service. I just went around and told them all how much I appreciated them. He came to me and he said, Brother Allen, thank you for allowing us to be here today. And he said, can we come back? I said, well, absolutely, absolutely you can. It's always great to have you here. He said, no, I mean, can we come back and just play with your choir for a regular service? He said, we want to make ourselves available to you in the month of January. Amen. Would that be great? Amen. So I think the guys are going to get together a date, and they'll let us know when it is. That's going to be a great time. Brother Larry. Oh, yeah. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's remember them in prayer. Brother Harold. A lot of prayer requests. Amen. And we got somebody this morning's got a birthday in the house. That's Brother Jeff. And today's his birthday, and we're thankful for that. Brother Jeff, this morning I want to ask you if you would call on the Lord on behalf of Brother Harold and these other prayer requests, as well as the service and the offering this morning. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Sing, church. How great. Sing it again one more time. Here we go. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Amen. He's a great God and worthy of our praise. One of the things that I guess the most thankful that I am about anything at all is that one night the Lord saw fit to reach down into my heart, convict me of my sins, and I've been born again. Amen. And I am so thankful for that. We're going to go back and pick up a song and try and sing for you this morning that says, "When I got up, I knew that I was changed." What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I'm His and He's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation, the night I got saved.
Creation, as we look ahead to another thank you. creation. As we look ahead to another year, we look above to you. Your grace is enough. Your mercy is new every morning, and your power is made perfect in our weakness. This year we have faced many trials. We have fought many battles. We have learned many lessons, and we have prayed many prayers. But this is our hope in life and in death. You are the God who sees. You are the God who knows. You are the God who cares. And you are the God who loves. And so we pray for courage to face our giants. We pray for grace to cover our guilt. We pray for strength to overcome our challenges. We pray for joy in all circumstances. And we pray for vision to see what you see. We don't know what we will face this year, but we do know this: it will never be faced alone.
Calvary Baptist Church, I got great news for you. Every day of 2026, God's mercies are going to be new. Can you believe that? Every single day. Every day of 2026, God's going to try to make you look more like his son, Jesus Christ. And for some of us, he's got some work to do, doesn't he? Myself included. Every day of 2026, Jesus is going to call us into his eternal work of bringing hope and help to the world through his son, Jesus Christ. And I am certainly excited about that. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 13. I'm looking forward to a great year. Are you saying I'm not on? I gotta turn on. I am so bad with technology. Am I on now? Happy New Year's. Judges chapter number 13. God's got great plans for you this year, I promise you. And just for those on the internet, let me say, every day of this year, you're going to have the new mercies of God. Every day of this year, God's going to try to make you look more like Jesus. And every day of this year, he's going to call you to the eternal work that he's up to in bringing the hope and help that God has for all of humanity. In Judges chapter number 13, we find the children of Israel. This is at the Lord's direction. As far as I know, I have never preached or taught on this before today, but it was what the Lord chose for us today at the first Sunday of the new year. And is the people of Israel are in one of those ridiculously negative cycles. Today, because the children's home was going to the Falcons game, I went over there and preached to them this morning at 8:45, and I asked them if they had ever seen family members that were in those negative cycles, that just over and again fell down, over and again. And the negative cycle that the children of Israel had was that they rebelled against God, and then when the consequences of rebelling against God and not the lack of having the strength to fight against their enemies came upon them, they would repent and they would cry out to God. And you think God would get sick of that by God's mercies, or aren't you so thankful that he doesn't throw the clay away? And God had begun that thing, and God would send a rescue to them. And you know those folks to be like Gideon or Samson or even Moses for sure. And in Judges chapter number 13, we're going to be introduced to a guy named Samson. If you will, start with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. When would they ever learn that you cannot have the strength of God without doing things the ways of God? They just repeated this over and over again. Verse number 2, here comes God's help. And there was a certain man of Zora of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. Remember that name, Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. This was crazy good news. You might recall that in Bible days, to be barren was a great stigmatism. It was something that was certainly negatively seen. Some people thought that God was against you if you were barren, and it was something that was so important for the family legacies that they have children, and this woman was not able to have a child, and the angel tells her, and we're not told that she knows it's an angel. In fact, I'm pretty clear you'll be believing what I believe. I think she thinks it's just a man. And he tells her, you're going to have a baby, and it's going to be a son, and that's just amazing news. Verse number 4, Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. This is even better news. This baby boy that you're going to have, he's going to be a hero baby. He's going to be a national hero, and this baby will begin to break the stronghold that the Philistines had over the people of Israel. Just crazy great news. But did you notice that even in this, God was saying these things to them? You're going to have to do this God's way. He told her, this child will be a Nazarite, and he will be separated from birth. Now, if you know anything about the Nazarite vow in the Bible, God gave his people Israel the opportunity to voluntarily take that vow. They could at any time in their life, let's say a young man was about to start a family and he wanted to make sure he got the right girl and got things going correctly, he could dedicate himself wholly to the Lord and say to the priest, I take the Nazarite vow. There were 3 rules. I'll give you the highlights of those rules. They could not touch the dead because God is the God of the living. They could not drink strong drink or eat that which makes strong drink or alcohol. And they, furthermore, they were not allowed to cut their hair. Now, the person who took that vow could do it for a month, 2 months. We're not told how long they could do it. But at the end of that time where they were to be totally dedicated to the Lord, they were to look different, act different, be different. At the end of that time, literally, the Bible says the person who made that vow would have to go before the priest and shave himself. Like, that would be the end of that vow. This is the time where I'm stopping this total separation for the Lord. But there were 3 characters in the Bible, and I'll give you a dollar if you know who they are. There were 3 characters in the Bible that were Nazarites from their birth, that literally their parents or God chose for them to be a Nazarite. And these people who were doing things God's way, separated, honoring these vows, brought the pipeline of the help of God. One thing you would remember about them, I'll give you a context clue, they all had supernatural births. They all had unusual and supernatural births. When you hear that, you think Jesus, but Jesus got a haircut. He did not take the Nazarite vow. Here are the characters. Samuel, you might recall, was the first. His mother said, no razor shall ever come to his head, and he was dedicated unto the Lord, literally dropped off at the temple as a toddler, and all the days of his life he honored that, and he brought the help of God because he did things God's way. The next one we meet is Samson here, who we're told right from his birth. By the way, imagine a Carter back there. How long would your hair be if you never had a haircut? I see you got a little something going there. I mean, would it be good and long and be way down to your feet? This child never had a haircut, and as long as he honored God, he brought the crazy great help of God. And then you might recall John the Baptist. Do you remember the angel said, no strong drink? Do you remember they all had supernatural births? Hannah, Samuel's mom, prayed to the Lord, and she was barren. The Bible tells us that Manoah's wife is barren, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, she wasn't just barren, she was good and old and barren. I mean, the Bible says that Zacharias said, I'm old and she's well stricken in years. I think he was saying, she's even older than I am, right? But they had these children, and as long as they did things God's way, these characters literally harnessed the help of God and brought it to Israel. But if they, like Israel, stopped holding the hand of God, stopped doing things God's way, what was going to happen? Well, we see that when Samson got his haircut. Do Do you remember that? That he didn't pay attention to God's laws for sexual purity, and he lent himself, and he ended up getting that haircut, and it was a disaster. But for now, we're just told help is on the way, and before that disaster, Samson did exactly what God wanted him to do. He weakened the Philistines greatly, and God is going to help him. So an angel has come to this woman and told her, you're going to have a baby, but her husband was not there. So, of course, she ran and told her husband Manoah and said, you're not going to believe this. A guy came, and he has told me this message from God that I'm going to have a very special baby. It'll be a boy, and he's going to heal or break the power of the Philistines. And the Bible says Manoah did something wise. Manoah prayed that God would send that guy back, thinking it's just a human. Go with me to verse number 9. And the Bible says in verse number 9, and God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Aren't you thankful for a God that hears us? Aren't you thankful for a God that hears us? I think about that song you guys sung first. I lean on you, Lord. You know, when my wife will tell you this is true. You know what, where that song plays its way in my life? On an airplane during turbulence. During turbulence, I'm not lying. I bow my head. I lean on you, Lord, right? A God that hears us. And so God has sent this angel back. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that speaketh unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. In other words, I believe what you have said. And let's just watch this thing happen. I believe this is a message that's come from God. But then he says, how shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? It is very important for our understanding the message today that we gather that Manoah is not a novice in the faith. Manoah is a man of the faith. Do you remember what happened to Zechariah, who was literally a priest making a sacrifice when the angel said to him, your wife's going to have a baby? The Bible said, he said, I'm old, she's well stricken in years, and Gabriel rebuked him and said, I'm Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. In other words, you have no idea. He went on to say, and I bring you glad tidings. He rebuked him for his lack of faith, but that's not Manoah. Manoah is a man of faith, and he says, I believe it, right? Just tell me how we're going to make this work. How can we possibly raise this child that's going to be this national hero? Verse number 13 says, And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. What he was saying to him is, he thinks he's a guy. He says, let me do something for you. It was customary in those days to show kindness to the prophets and to those things. So he said, let me make a sacrifice. Or maybe he's telling him he could make a meal, because the angel, remember, Manoah doesn't know it's an angel. The angel says to Manoah, I can't eat with you. And then he went on to say, if you make a sacrifice, you need to make it unto the Lord. And then Manoah said, tell me what your name is, that when these things come to pass, I could honor you, right? It's like if Alan Clayton said to me, in 5 days, you're going to win $1 million, and then I win $1 million, I'm going to say, man, Alan Clayton had it right on the head, right? Woo! You got insight from the Lord. But here's what's crazy. The angel said back to him, my name's a secret. I can't tell you. And can you imagine how awkward that had to be for just a minute? Hey, what's your name? My name's a secret. I can't tell you. Go with me to verse 19. The Bible says, so Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. They could never have guessed what was about to happen. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their face to the ground. Well, let me ask you a question. What would you do if I disappeared into a fire up here in front of you, right? What would you do if I just went whoop up into a fire? CJ, I know what you're thinking. You know, your fat would sizzle in the fire. That's not nice back there. But at any rate, right? I mean, they literally fell on their face. The Bible says in verse number 20, verse 21, but the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Well, I guess so. I mean, after all, look what just happened. He's certainly not a human being. And what would this mean for Manoah and his wife? Because they now know that it's an angel literally sent directly from God, not from this earth. They know for sure what he has told us is going to come to pass, right? I mean, absolutely. This is not just small talk. An angel just told us we're going to get pregnant. We're going to have a baby boy, and he is going to be a hero. And this could not be anything but good news. I imagine if I were sitting there with my wife, we'd be thinking, nobody's going to believe us. If we tell him this happened and he just disappeared up in the flame, they're not going to believe this. This is too good to be true. But look at verse number 22. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Wait, what? Manoah just got phenomenal good news from God. Phenomenally good news from the Lord himself. And instead, he has totally, completely missed it. And here's something critical for you today. You know why he missed it? Because he gravely misunderstood something about God that Moses had taught. Do you recall where he got this thinking that if we see God, we will die? God did say to Moses, if you see me face to face, you will die. No man can live and see God face to face. But when did God say that to Moses? When did God say that to Moses? Do you recall? The Bible says Moses had a crazy request. Moses was bold. I mean, he said to God, show me your what? Show me your glory. And God said to him, you can't see me face to face. No man can see God face to face and live. But then he said to them, said to Moses, stand on the rock. And when I pass before you, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hand. And when I am past you, I will uncover my hand and you can see my hind parts. You can see the back of me. God said that to Moses in a time where he was protecting Moses. God was for Moses. God was for Manoah. And can I tell you something? God is for you. And there is a very real devil who will spend the rest of your life trying to convince you that maybe God is for other people. Maybe he's for so-and-so and for him or her, but he is not for you, and that is a lie. God is absolutely for you. It's a good thing God gave Manoah a girl because his wife saw things more clearly. Look with me, verse number 23. We're almost done. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would have not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. In other words, if God wanted to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted our offering and he wouldn't have told us we're about to have a baby, right? That's crazy. Manoah, your thinking is broken. What you're seeing and what you're feeling is causing you not to believe what God has said. And what God has said was good things are coming your direction. And the Bible says in verse number 24, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And with that on my Bible, I write, yay! Give it up for God. He's still helping his very undeserving people. He's still reaching to them. He hasn't thrown the clay away. Perfect song. He's still working on their behalf. And truth number one, we only have two today, but truth number one from the Word of God, if you and I are going to experience the life that God has created us for, if we are to find our purpose and walk in the works that he has for us, we are going to have to build our life not on what we see, not on what we feel, but on what God has said. What do you think Manoah was feeling when he laid prostrate before that angel and the Bible says he got up and said, we're going to die, God's going to kill us? What do you think he was feeling? I mean, just total despair. And if his wife had not been there to correct him, they would have been walking through life thinking, any minute now, you know, a boulder's going to fall on us, something's going to happen. But they missed it because of what they... And here's the reality of the situation. Do you remember I said to you, there's a very real devil who will work diligently in your life to try to convince you that God is not for you when he is radically for you? Think of how that worked out for these very children of Israel. Do you remember when they came to the Red Sea? God had done this miraculous thing for them. He had sent the plague of the firstborn. Remember, the angel of death came, and Pharaoh literally said, hey, okay, you guys can be delivered. delivered. God rescued them. They come to the Red Sea. God's about to crush their enemies. They are literally within minutes of seeing their enemies crushed, or at least within hours. Pharaoh, everything that captured them, it was a picture of salvation. Everything that had afflicted them and captured them in that Red Sea was about to be drowned. God was working for them, working for them, working for them. What did they say? Do you remember what they said to Moses? Were there no graves in Egypt? What? God is trying to rescue them and save them, but they're viewing God through this negative lens and think God's brought us to a trap. We're going to drown or we're going to be killed by Pharaoh. And they completely missed what God had said. God told them he was going to give them a land and bring them to that place. And even though what they saw and what they felt did not match what God had said, if you have a choice between going by what you feel and what you see and what God has said, hang on tight to what God has said. Because if you're not careful, that very devil who's trying to convince you God is against you will have you living a lifelong life of viewing God incorrectly. God is so for you. God still split the Red Sea. You remember what Moses did? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight what? For you. The Lord is for you. The Bible says they come to the promised land and the 12 spies come back. You might recall what happened. The 12 spies said, there's giants in the land. And we're like grasshoppers. And then they said these words, God brought us out here to kill our wives and children. What happens when you hear those words, kill your wife and children? Oh man, that's a terrible feeling. But you know what the reality of the situation was? God was trying to give them lands and houses and wells and vineyards they didn't even labor for. God was trying to richly, richly bless them. But they had to come to believe because of what they could see and what they felt deep down inside that God was against them. I think back to the story of Adam and Eve. God had blessed Adam and Eve with everything. They had perfect harmony and no sin and great love and everything that they needed. And Satan said to them, essentially, God is holding out on you. You can be like God. God is not for you. And as soon as they believed that, what happened? They ate out of the tree and they lived a life like God was not for them, but God was for them. Do you know what I can tell you? If you're a child of God and you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your very real enemy will use one specific tool to try to push you away from God. Would you zero in on what I'm about to say? Literally, the very real devil will use this thing called condemnation. When you do something wrong, or you've been out of line in some way, or you've got something, he will work diligently to make you feel like you are condemned. Do you know why? Like God is against me. Do you know why? Because condemnation makes us run from God, right? Condemnation makes us run from God. The difference between the feeling of condemnation, God is against me, pay attention. The difference between feeling God is against me and the feeling of conviction makes us move away from sin and closer to God. Condemnation makes us take steps away from God. And that devil, here in Manoah's confusion, he has completely missed something. He has completely missed how much God was for him. And also, he has missed how much God was for Moses. Can I ask you a question? I'll probably teach a few of you guys something because I just learned something this week. That was kind of a haughty thing to say. I shouldn't say it. Maybe you knew this and I just learned it. But do you know how much God loved Moses? Do you know how much God loved Moses? The Bible tells us that God loved Moses so much that God himself buried Moses, right? He loved him so much that he actually buried him. But then listen to what I'm about to say. Do you remember the two things that Moses asked for in this life for which he was denied? Do you remember what the two things? He asked, can I see your glory? No, you can't see me face to face. And he asked, can I go in the promised land? Can I get in the promised land? Those are the things that I want. And he was told no because he had struck the rock, you might recall. But do you know that when Jesus surveyed heaven and he decided that he would take a couple boys with him to the Mount of Transfiguration, you remember he had James and John and Peter, James, and John, right? He got those three. I got it out of order. My brain doesn't work that way. He had Peter, James, and John. But the Bible says he brought two boys from heaven with him. Do you remember who it was? Moses and Elijah. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, for all of us to see, God let Moses see the glory of God, and God let Moses stand in the promised land. God loved Moses. God was for Moses. That which was denied wasn't denied forever, just for a time. God cared for him. God is for us. God is for us. God is for us. Can I tell you how for God is for you? Think about the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus Christ looked at his disciples and he said to them, I am sorrowful even unto death. Do you remember? He said essentially, this sorrow is crushing me. It is crushing me. And then he said to his father, think about what I'm going to say. Think about your child. He said to his father three times, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, if there's any other way. Three times he said it. If there's any other way, take this cup from me. I don't want this. Is there another way? He said what I say when I'm not getting my prayers done. When Dion's still laying there and I can't get him up, and I say to God things like, God, nothing is too hard for you. He said that to his father. He's calling out to his father, is there any other way? Is there any other way? Is there any other way? Nothing's too hard for you. Is there no other solution? And the Bible says it pleased the Lord to crush him for you. There wasn't another way. I look back at the times of my life, my kids called out for help, man. Turn heaven and earth over. All the resources. The Bible says he looked at you. When the Lord Jesus Christ was being tortured on the cross, you have to catch this. He never cried out. We're never told that when the nails went through, he cried out. We're never told that when he was beaten with that cat of nine tails, he cried out. The Bible says at the end of his life, he cried out. He said these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? When God turned his back on his son, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then he cried out and gave up the ghost. In that moment, for the first time in history, God was separated from his child. For the very first time in history, God had turned his back. Instantly when that happened, the Bible says the veil in the temple that separated mankind from holy God tore from top to bottom, and a pathway was made so you would never have to be separated from God again. Is that crazy or what? God is for you. Can I read a few verses to you this morning? Some of these you need to anchor to your soul. If there's any of you that ever doubt your salvation or think you could lose your salvation, that is so unbiblical. That is so not true. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. One of my favorite verses. God's not mad at you anymore, Carter. He poured all the wrath for your sins on Jesus, and you're at peace with God. That's a precious truth. Hebrews 10:14 is something you should have anchored to your soul. It says, for by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those that are set apart as his children, you stand perfect before God. If you believe today that you could lose your salvation and get your salvation back, let me tell you, there's two problems with that kind of thinking. Number one, you're introducing your righteousness as part of your salvation, right? The Bible says your righteousness is as filthy rags. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation is only the death of Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. And some people say you should never teach people that, because when you teach people that, they're just going to go sin. The Bible says, shall we sin, continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But by the way, why do you love God? Why do you love God? You love God because what? He first loved you. Your love for him is only in response to his love for you. And so doesn't it make sense that the enemy of your soul would try to make you think he does not love you as richly as he loves you? He isn't as committed to you, and your response to him would be that way. And if you know the Bible and you know it's true, that God who loves you and cares for you and has committed eternal life to you, literally given eternal life to you, how does that make you feel? You've been given eternal life. That's pretty awesome, right? But he's done that. He's also a father, and if you walk in sin, he will give you some big old consequences that you do not want, because he's a good, good father. Do not walk in sin that way, but God has said nothing can separate you from the love of God. Didn't he say that? What does that word nothing mean? The Bible has said, God has said he will never leave you nor forsake you. So if God threw you into hell, by the way, wouldn't he have to go with you? He will never do that. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. The Bible says, Jesus said these words, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Manoah's crazy interpretation that God was going to kill them completely missed God's favor for Moses. Do you remember any time in the Bible where somebody looked at God and they died? Do you remember that? No, God was showing kindness to Moses, and God loved Moses, and God loved Manoah, and he was for him, I just think of these things and I think about how very important it is, because there's going to be 1,000 times in your life where your emotions and your mind and your heart are going to say go right, but if God has said go left, you need to head to the left. You need to head to the left. You have a God that is radically for you. God was trying to help Israel. Don't misunderstand the goodness of God. When that old devil comes to bring you that condemnation, you need to follow the model of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to hand him back some of those scriptures. Jesus said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said he has given you everlasting life. Jesus said you are justified by faith. Jesus said you have peace with God. God is for you. The second part of our sermon this morning, and it's not that long, but it's just something that goes beautifully with the story. If you follow this story, even though God is radically for us and is committed to us, the work and the strength of God in our life is dependent upon our doing things God's way. When we do things God's way, there's a host of times in the scriptures where God almost like gives it to us on an elementary level. Think about this thing with Samson and his hair. What was the significance of Samson's hair? Why did his hair have to be long? Well, his hair meant that he was obeying God. And he, when he said to that Delilah, if you cut my hair, I'll be weak as any other man. That was a very sad statement, by the way. By the way, you know one of the reasons why you need to do things God's way? Your spouse doesn't need you to be just any other man. Your spouse needs you to be a spouse with the help of God. Your grandkids don't need you to just be any other man or any other woman. You need your grandparents that have the help of God. Your friends don't need just any other man. They need somebody who has the help of God. But Samson's hair would grow as a symbol of his dependence upon God. In the same way, do you remember when Moses held up the rod? Joshua and the army of Israel were fighting in the valley against the Amalekites, and Moses held up the rod just saying, God, we're depending upon you. God, we're leaning on you. God, we're counting on you to help us through. And his arms got tired. Do you remember what happened? Literally, as his arms got tired and his hands came down, think of this elementary lesson. As that happened, the Bible says Joshua's army got pushed back, so much so that two boys came, Aaron and Hur, ran up and held his arms up so that they won the battle. When that battle was over, this is important, God said to Moses, you write this down and you go make sure Joshua knows it. Why would he say that? Write this down and make sure Joshua knows that. You know what the lesson was? When the leader of Israel is depending upon God, Israel's army will win wars. When the leader of Israel is depending upon God, Israel's army will win wars. Why did Joshua need to know that? Joshua was the very next leader of Israel's army. I think of the time where the Bible says the people were to march around the walls of Jericho 7 times. This is so funny, CJ. I don't know why I pick on you, but I'm just going to call this out. The Bible says the first six times, they had to do it in silence. Do you think that CJ could be silent for 6 trips around Jericho? I mean, he poked, it was you know. I just can't see it, right? They had to do it in silence. But on the 7th time, they were told to shout. And when they shouted, you remember what happened? Have you ever been in the bathroom when somebody came budging in? You're like, woo! You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? The walls came crumbling down. And all of a sudden, they were very vulnerable because they had done things God's way. In Gideon's story, the 300 men made it perfect. 100 here, 100 here, and 100 there. So that when the enemy armies, 2 armies combined, got scared, they had a place to escape. They didn't run into the men. And we ran out into the night and began to bump into each other. And the Bible says that they've turned on her. Do you know how you can experience the strength of God? Do things God's way. This goes perfectly with Jesus' statement about whosoever hears these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. When you tell the truth, if you're out there and you've told some lies before, repent. Repent of that. You can't have a relationship with people who will deceive you. Don't do that. But if you begin to say, I'm going to be a person who tells the truth and I'm going to tell nothing but the truth to the best of my ability, you know what happens? God begins to put brick and mortar and timber and walls up, and you begin to build beautiful relationships. People who are nothing but truth tellers, everybody wants them in their life. You want your kids to marry somebody that's a truth teller. You want to be a truth teller. It's very true. God begins to strengthen your life when you do what he tells you to do. If you're faithful to your spouse, that gives your spouse that precious feeling of security, and that's how God begins to build a family. If you give, think of this, The Bible says, give and it shall be what? Given unto you. Is that true or not true? That true? Is there nothing in that book that's not true? So the minute you give, God now has to find you some resources. But not has to like we made him, but he has committed, give and it shall be given unto you. And boy, howdy, have I learned that. You begin to feel and experience the strength of God and do that. I think about how I've been hitting lately, and I don't know, this has got to be for somebody because God has put this in my sermon so frequently, the spiritual gifts that were given. When I say, okay, I'm going to preach, what I'm saying to you is, I am accepting that God has given me the spiritual gift of pastor, teacher. That's what we call the spiritual gift. And I'm going to preach. Sometimes it's very stretching to me, but I'm saying to God, I am going to do that. But you know what happens when I do that? God gives incredible supernatural insights. He does. God opens the Word of God to me so I can understand it because I'm operating what God told me to do. Oftentimes people will say to me, how did you know what was going on in my life? I have no idea what's going on in your life. Absolutely no idea what's going on. I didn't preach that because you were here or not here. I said that because God told me to do that, and God works in that way, and we find His strength doing what He told us to do. I think of if you have the gift of helps. Do you know who has the gift of helps for sure? I could call a few names, but Randy Maddox has the gift of helps. He just does. That dude loves to help, and he just jumps. If you have the gift of hospitality, do you know what that is? That's God giving you just an extra dose of love. Couldn't any of us use an extra dose of love? Couldn't any of us use some of that, an extra dose of love where you like to care for people, and you will find the help of God doing things God's way. The God who is for you is saying, try things my way. Try things my way. Come my direction. Do things my way, because the converse or the opposite is pretty yucky. Do you remember the story at the end of Samson's life? Though he has brought the help of God to Israel, he killed so many Philistines, it literally weakened their hold on him. One time he got a jawbone of a donkey, remember that? He went hog wild, you know, and he weakened them and weakened them and weakened them. But in the end, Samson did not pay attention to God's law for sexual purity. He just did not. And the Bible says, King James Version, I'll keep it PG, but the Bible says that the Philistines went up to Delilah, and here's the King James word, said entice him. Entice him. And when she did, the Bible says she made him go to sleep on her knees. Think about this. She probably, stroking his hair like he's a small child, like you would an infant, just rock-a-bye Samson. On her knees, you know what she's doing? She's trying to kill him. She's literally trying to kill him. Literally, the Philistines have paid her to seduce him and trick him so that they can get him a haircut. And when his hair is cut, do you remember what happened? He didn't become weak and puny. He didn't become like a wee man. He became like a normal man. He was a man that didn't have the supernatural involvement and help of God in his life. And he was just like any other man. And he got up to fight. And he might have socked the first guy one good one. But by the time three or four of them were on him, it was over. And then they tied him up and made sport of him. But you know what's crazy? The Bible actually says that when he got up, he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. He didn't know that God's strength and help to do that had departed from him. He had cut his hair and God's help stepped away. Now, God never leaves us, never forsakes us. That's the commitment to the New Testament Christian. And God would later hear Samson's prayer. God wasn't giving up on Samson. But when you don't do things God's way, you don't get that strength and help of God. So I'm not sure why the Lord would send Calvary Baptist Church that message this morning, but I promise you he did. God is so for you. Don't for a second believe that you've done something and God's against you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you don't know that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that very same devil will try to convince you that you cannot be saved. We had a young person at the children's home that had grown up in very witchy family. The family had done sorcery and things like that. And when I first started talking to him about getting saved, he would say to me, "I can't be saved. I can't be saved. I can't be saved." In his Bible, he literally blacked out the word Lord in places where it talked about the devil's involvement. Literally blacked out. The devil will try to convince you the opposite of what is true. You can be saved. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved." The Bible says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. Don't try the world's wicked ways. God, we love you today. And we ask in Jesus' name that you would speak to our hearts, Father. I pray maybe there's somebody in here who's had that internal turmoil. The devil's been lying, he's been lying, he's been lying, God. But they would anchor to what you said, not what they feel, not what they see, God. I pray in Jesus' name that you'd work in that way in their lives. I pray maybe there's somebody in here today who just says, "I could use some help from God." Maybe there's somebody in here who's never trusted you as their Savior and they would need to come. I pray, oh God, would you be so good and would you let your Holy Spirit work today? Would you move in our hearts? Would this be a strengthening day at Calvary Baptist Church? Could we be stronger today because we learned how for you we are? I ask you to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You stand to your feet. If the Lord spoke into your heart, it's 12:05. You got some time. You got some time. The Lord loves bent knees. He loves it. Nobody has ever prayed and said, "Oh, I wish I hadn't done that." If the Lord's drawing your heart for any reason, would you come? Maybe you just want to come and say, "Thank you that I learned today. You're so for me." That'd be a good thing. Maybe today you would be willing to bow your knee and say, "God, I've been deceived. I've been deceived. I fell for the lies. That old deceiver, that accuser, that condemner tricked me. He deceived me. You're trying to do good for me all this time. You're working on my behalf, and here I am seeing you in a negative light. God, help me not to believe that. Help me to run to you, Jesus, Savior of the world." Oh, the Lord likes those bent knees. Jesus taught us that powerful, powerful statement. He said, "You have not because you ask not." You know how I teach the kids about that? I said, "Oh, you should have asked." Anybody seen how good Max's dad is doing? He's not here today, but I tell you, that kid cried for his dad. Cried for his dad. Cried for his dad. Dad's finally turned a corner. First time in 8 years got to spend the night with his dad. Should have asked. Should have asked.
Wash me just now, as in thy presence.
Brother Alan Clayton, will you pray for those in the altar today? These people wrap up their prayer time. give you a couple things. Let's everybody give the Teagues a hug today. It's so great to see them back in the house of the Lord. Missed you guys so. So glad that you're here. I also want to tell you about an opportunity on January 31st. I'm going to take the young people over to Miss Elna's house. She doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to take her over to her house. And Mr. Dion was a collector of things. He did that. And so we got to do some moving and some just helping our precious friend, Miss Elna. And if you would like to join us, we'll do that in the morning hours. January 31st, going to go be a friend to Miss Elna with the young people. And I know that we'd love your help and be grateful for that. So does anybody else have anything you want to say today? Brother Steele wants to announce something. Happy 2026. God bless you. Have a great day. God is for you.